And when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them as tongues of fire, distributing themselves as they rested on each one of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. And now there were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were bewildered because they were each one hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and marveled, saying, "Why are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we each hear them in our own language to which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the districts of Libya around Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jew and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them in our own tongues speaking of the mighty deeds of God." And they continued in amazement and great perplexity, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others were mocking and saying, "They are full of sweet wine." But Peter, taking his stand with the 11, raised his voice and declared to them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give heed to my words. For these men are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only the third hour of the day. And this is what was spoken of through the prophet Joel. And it shall be in the last days, God says, that I'll pour forth of my spirit upon all mankind. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my bondslaves, both men and women, I will in those days pour forth of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will grant wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and glorious day of the Lord shall come. And it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs which God performed through him in your midst, just as you yourselves know. This man, delivered up by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death. And God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in its power. For David says to him, 'I was all to beholding the Lord in my presence. For he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad, and my tongue exalted. Moreover, my flesh also will abide in hope, because thou wilt not abandon my soul to Hades, nor allow thy Holy One to undergo decay. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou wilt make me full of gladness with thy presence.' Brethren, I may confidently say to you regarding the patriarch David, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. And so because he was a prophet and knew that God had sworn to him with an oath to seat one of his descendants upon his throne, he looked ahead and spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was neither abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh suffer decay. This Jesus God raised up again, to which we are all witnesses. Therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured forth this which you both see and hear. For it was not David who ascended to heaven, but he himself said, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand, until I make thine enemies a footstool for thy feet.' Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." Now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call to himself." And with many other words, he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." And so then, those who had received these words were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they were continuing devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all who had believed were together, and they had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. And day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. Amen. Well, chapter 2 is the chapter on Pentecost, and you guys know Pentecost was very rightly named because Pentecost is the beginning of harvest, you know, and so as we begin the church, you know, begin the new covenant, we also begin the harvest, and this is really what the church's mission is really all about. And so he continues on, and And the first thing that happens is the Holy Spirit comes upon people, you know, and I want you to see two different reactions that occur as a result of this, right? The Spirit of God comes, we see that people start speaking in tongues, you know, and tongues is really just a redemption of Genesis when Babel happened. Remember, these guys wanted to reach God, and they wanted to, you know, do something united, and so they come and, you know, they try to build this tower, and God confuses their language, actually gives them language, but confuses them and sends them off to everywhere in the world. And now you have, you know, that all those scattered, and now come back to Jerusalem, we see all these different people that are there, you know, and now the Lord releases tongues, and instead of confusion, you know, it's actually unifies people, right? And so this is a redemption of the Tower of Babel, in essence. You know, and so now people are sharing, speaking tongues, speaking in people's known languages, you know, and I mean, pretty amazing. I mean, this is pretty much a miracle, you know, in many ways. And I don't know if you've ever met anyone in your life that actually has spoken in tongues in a known language, you know, but it's pretty stinking cool, you know. I have actually a good friend of mine who's, I guess, a really big worship leader in Korea now, you know, and he's a white guy, and, you know, one of these days he was at church, and he started praying and speaking in tongues, and all of a sudden he started speaking Korean, you know, and, you know, they didn't know what was going on, and so there happened to be some Koreans, you know, there, and he realized, wow, you know, he was saying pretty much just, you know, praise God, you know, you're my father, you know, type of stuff, and just amazing. And now he's married a Korean, he's got two Korean kids, well, half Korean kids, and, you know, now he's a leading worship in Korea. And so sometimes there's a real connection that happens. In the early Pentecostal movement, you know, in 1900s, early 1900s, when they had what was called the Azusa Street Revival, you know, this is exactly what happened. People, and, you know, these are just common store owners, farmers, you know, and they came to hear this one-eyed black preacher, William Seymour. And when they, you know, came under, they were into this barn, right? And the fire of God came upon this barn. You know, so much so, actually, you know, I actually have a front page of LA Times back then, you know, and the fire trucks came because they saw fire on the roof. You know, and when they came, they realized there's no fire, but it was a spiritual fire. I mean, that's how real this thing was. And a lot of these farmers and, you know, just common people, right? They started speaking in tongues in African, Swahili, you know, I mean, it's all documented. And these guys were crazy because as soon as they did that, they left. In other words, they went to Africa, right? And they went to Germany. They just scattered all over the place. And a real testament to, you know, just kind of their faith. And, you know, I mean, obviously as a missiology study that, they actually didn't do it very well. You know, but you can't fault their tenacity in their faith, you know, and so they left, and so we see this happening. Now, look at the reaction that happens, right? The first reaction, you know, some people are amazed, right? They watch, and this is what will be a common occurrence when we come into spiritual phenomena. Some will be amazed, like, whoa, this is amazing. You know, I mean, this is incredible. And I remember the first time I think our church really started experiencing spiritual phenomena, you know, and you guys know Brother Sean, right? And Sean, just brand new Christian, you know, I mean, newbie as you can be, you know, and stuff. And back then, you know, we were probably only about 60 people or so and things. And so I had a much better relationship with everyone at church. And so, you know, and Sean came and he got slain in the spirit. And I mean, the guy was out, you know. And I came up because I know his background, right? So I said, hey, man, how was it? You know, like, you know, what happened to you? Blah, blah. And he's like, I loved it. You know, it's like, this is what I want, you know, this is what I'm looking for. You know, I want to be connected to God. You know, and so you, a lot of times you'll get that reaction, but you'll also get a different reaction, right? And these guys came and they were mocking and saying, these guys are drunk, right? This is crazy, right? What's going on here? And sure enough, you know, I've been around so many circles and so many services, you'll get these two reactions, you know. And you get middle of the road as well. You know, and some people will be like, whoa, that's amazing. You know, let me have some of that. You know, and others like, psh, unbiblical, you know, bunch of losers, right? Well, do you need something? You know what I mean? Well, the Bible's not, you know, enough for you, you know, kind of stuff. And it's like, you know what I mean? You'll get two totally different things. You know, whoa, cool. And other ones, psh, you guys are drunk, man. Right? Something's definitely wrong with you, right? And stuff. And so we got to be very careful. Remember, you know, we talk about this a lot, right? Be careful of calling light darkness, right? It's better just to, you know, be inquisitive, you know. And what, you know, what most of the writers say, just look at the fruit, right? See what happens as a result, you know, and then we can make judgments based on that. You know, don't be quick to judge, you know, especially spiritual phenomena. You know, you never know, right? You never know. And these guys, you know, they're calling light darkness, and luckily God had mercy on them. And so Peter, he comes and he takes his stand, right? And he stands up and he says, ah, we're not drunk. Besides, it's only 9 in the morning, right? And so, which is not really a good argument, right? Because I've been in Hong Kong for a while. I've been around 9 in the morning guys and... Right, so if I with softball, early morning games, 9 in the morning, half my team's drunk, man. So this is not a good argument, you know. And so he comes and says, "They're not drunk, you know." And this is what's spoken through the prophet Joel. And then he begins to say this, and I'm still puzzled by this, because Peter uses Joel, but Joel really says nothing about spiritual phenomena in essence, especially tongues, right? It's not even there, but it correlates, and people went, oh, okay, I get it now. You know, it must have been the work of the Holy Spirit. And he says here in the last days, and this is just a little something, right? If Joel says 2,000 years ago, right, he says to this time, and he says this, you know, about 600 years before that, and he said, in the last days, I'll pour forth of my spirit. Now, If 2,000 years ago, these were the last days, today, we're in the last of the last days. You know what I mean? And so we need the Spirit's power. And he says, I'll pour forth my Spirit upon all mankind. Now, Pentecost, right, is the beginning of New Covenant. This is the equalizer of all things, right? He says, first of all, he goes, sons and daughters shall prophesy. In other words, the division between men and women are shattered here at Pentecost. And then young men will see visions, old men will dream dreams, right? The age bearer, old and young, shattered on the spot. And then the other big, you know, division that was happening during this time was between the slave and the free. And right then, right, upon my bond slaves, both men and women, right? So again, that is taken over, you know. And he says, bond slaves, right? Both, even on the bond slaves, both men and women, you know. Everything, slaves, free men, boom, all gone, right? And so every single one of us, regardless of our sex, regardless of our age, you know, regardless of our occupation, you know, our social standing, we're all on the same level at the foot of the cross, right? This was the great equalizer, right? This event, the Pentecost that happened, set everyone at ease, you know? And so, you know, there's no hierarchy anymore. Women, men, you know, it just doesn't exist. You know, old or young, right? It's gone. Obviously, in our age, you know, slave and free, that's that's done away with as well. You know, and he begins to share with them, you know, exactly what's happening here in the midst of them, you know, and then they continue to prophesy as we continue on. And then Peter, I don't know how this guy got so smart overnight. Then he goes and he appeals to David, you know, and if you sit here and if you listen, read his argument, well, he's brilliant, you know what I mean? And he goes and says, because everyone believes David's a prophet, everyone knows he's a king, everyone knows his prophecies, and so he appeals to David and saying, see, even David, you know, foretold that this was going to happen about the Messiah, Yeshua. You know, and so he continues on with this whole thing and, you know, throws a couple verses in there and just leads them into this thing. And then he continues on, and these guys are so moved, right? I love the word. It says they were pierced to the heart. You know, they were, literal translation is they were smitten in conscience. In other words, their mind was just pierced, you know, and they were so convicted. You know, they were ruined, you know. And they come to this place and says, okay, what should we do? And he says, repent. Repent, be baptized, right? And the Holy Spirit will fill you up. Well, sure enough, that's what these guys do. 3,000 people get added to the church that day. And this is what happens. Let me give you a picture of church, right? This is, if we would focus on these four things, you know, like give our lives to these four things, you know, and we really focus ourselves and really give ourselves to this, I'll tell you in a second afterwards what's going to happen. And so this is the pristine church. This is the beginning of the church. This is the church in its most beautiful state. Number one, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Right? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. You know, they got into the Word. You know, they were good students of God's Word. You know, I mentioned on our New Year's Eve service, you know, if you guys don't have a Bible, buy a Bible. You know, if you don't have money, I'll buy you a Bible, right? You know, I mean, we'll go to Elam after service today, and I'll get you a Bible, you know, and then start bringing your notebooks to church, right? You know, it's a shame. You know what I mean? You know, I'll be really honest, right? Every once in a while, I go on to God TV, right, and stuff, and I flip through, and I see these preachers that I don't really like that all that much. I'll just be honest, right? You know, but they're speaking, they're doing their thing, because, you know, they only talk about two different subjects, right? And things in, but you know, when I look at the congregation, man, every single one of the people in their congregation are taking notes. Every single one. I don't know if they're just panning like three people at the same time or something, you know, but it's so many different services, right? And every single one, they're sitting there, they're taking notes, you know, they're absorbing, they're writing, you know, because they're have devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. You know, there's, you know, they just want more than just a good moment in church, right? They want a savor of lifetime in God's Word, right? And I entreat you, go buy a notebook, bring a pen, start taking notes. You know, because see, what happens, and this is this is something that I do personally. When I listen to people, I take notes, but while people are speaking to me, you know, while people are preaching, God's speaking to me too, and I always jot stuff down, you know, and it could be some really random thing that some pastor said, but it resonates something inside of me, and so I'll just jot a note down, you know, and I'll know to revisit that, you know, God's convicted me of something. It may have nothing to do with the message, or usually has some, you know, it's like a tangent in something, you know, someone will say something, and I'll just be convicted, you know, or some insight will come, and I'll just jot something down, you know, but you'll forget if you don't write it down. You know, and so I really encourage you guys, right? Get a little notebook, right? Get your Bible, right? They devote themselves to the apostles' teaching. You know, if you've been coming, and I'll say this, if you've been coming to Solomon's Porch for at least a year, right? How can I say this? Don't pick up one of those Bibles over there, right? The original intent of those Bibles was for newcomers. You know, it was for people that, like, you know, don't own a Bible, you know? And so don't even know what a Bible is, and so they can take one and read it along with us. If you've been coming to church for a year, right, you know, I don't want to say shame on you, because that's, you know, then you have inner healing issues, you know, but, you know, like, come on, you know, get your own Bible, start bringing it to church, start taking notes, you know, your Bible should be dirty, in essence. Do you remember that line I shared with you, right, you know? Clean Bible, dirty mind. Dirty Bible, clean mind. It's just one of those things that goes together. And so, make sure you brother, right? So, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, right? Koinonia, godly fellowship. You know, where people really cared for each other, really lifted each other up. You know, koinonia is the fellowship that only comes from God, right? You can't get that at the nightclub, you know, with your friends. You can't get that, you know, in your workplace. You get it with a family of believers coming together. And it's not like you have to talk about the Bible the whole time, you know, or spiritual things, but it's just the fellowship that happens where the community flows, right? And so they devote the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, to the breaking of bread. In other words, the Lord's table, right? The sacrifice of Christ was preeminent in their mind, you know, and then the prayer. It's a beautiful thing, right? The apostles' teaching, koinonia, right? The Lord's table, right? The sacraments, you know, and then prayer. You know, if we as a community, if we spent 2009 and we said, okay, we're going to focus on these four things, you know, that it's just going to be a part of our life, right? It's going to be a part of our lifestyle. You want to see what's going to happen? Well, he tells us later on, this is exactly what happens. They felt a sense of awe, right? In other words, there was a transcendence about these people, right? There was an awe, there was a sense of the holy in their lives. You know, they were in the holy, right? They were in that holy place, that secret place. You know, so they had a sense of the holy. Signs and wonders were taking place, right? God was doing the miraculous. I mean, cool things were happening. People were getting healed. You know, miraculous prayers to answers to prayers. You know, I mean, just amazing things were happening in the midst of them. You know, then they had unity, right? They were all together, right? They had all things in common. And then a spirit of generosity began to flow. They started sharing with everyone, right? There was a sense of the holy, right? The sense of the awe of God, the presence of God. Signs and wonders were taking place. There was unity, right? And then a spirit of generosity was flowing. See, a lot of times what happens is people focus on generosity, or people focus on signs and wonders, or people focus on the holy. You know, those things come as we focus on the apostles' teaching, on the koinonia, right, onto the supper, the Lord's Supper, right, into prayer. We focus on those things, right, that we can do, right, all of us, we can do those things, and then the stuff that God does flows as a result of that, right? You know, it says, you know, it's not Christians don't follow signs, right? Signs follow Christians, right? It says, you know, and signs shall follow those that believe, right? And so, you know, we're not chasing after things, it just comes. You know what I mean? I mean, it just comes. Have you ever been around, you know, and at service or whatnot, or in some settings, and God is just so gracious to you, and you're just sitting there, I don't know why I deserve this. You know, that's exactly, it's an overflow, you know, of all these things that we can do, you know, that we can focus on, you know, and this is what happens. You know, and they're with one mind in the temple, breaking bread house to house, taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. You know, and this is really what we want our house churches to be about. You know, house to house, everyone joyful, everyone together, you know, everyone learning, everyone growing. You know, praising God, having favor with all the people. And the last part, it says, and the Lord was adding to their number day by day. You know, you didn't join the church, right? Let's make it very clear. You didn't just decide, all right, I'm going to go to Solomon's porch, right? The Lord added you to the church, right? He added you to this place. And so that means that he has a purpose for you in this place. You know, and it's not just for you to serve in some ministry, you know, even though that's a part of it, but there is a divine mandate of why you're here. You know, and so take advantage and learn, right, what is pleasing to the Lord. Now, what I want to focus on, I'll go back a little bit and go back to Peter. And you look at this guy, right? What happened to Peter, right? You know, roughly about 80 days before this, right, Peter was in a courtyard, right? He was cold. He was sitting next to a fire, right? And this little girl came up to him and says, aren't you a Galilean? Aren't you one of those things? Remember what Peter did? He starts cursing, chewing her out, and said, I'm not one of these guys, right? Remember the cock crowed, and that was 80 days ago, right? I mean, 80 days, you know, 3 months, basically, right? What happened in those 3 months? Peter met Holy Spirit, right? I mean, that's really all that happened. Peter met Holy Spirit, and he became a totally different person. Totally different person. Transformed. You know, you can't even recognize him anymore. Right? So let's close our eyes today. Peter apprehended the Holy Spirit. Or better said, the Holy Spirit apprehended Peter. See, the question really is not necessarily, do you have Holy Spirit? The question is, does Holy Spirit have you? Incredible change and transformation, literally almost overnight. as Peter repented, they came face to face with the Spirit of God. Powerful. If you're looking at your life today and you need something to change, you need some transformation, look no further than the Holy Spirit. You know, if there's parts of your character or your life or whatnot, go to the Lord right now and say, Lord, this anger thing that I've got, God, and I just need this to be changed. Lord, I worry so much, Lord. Lord, I need this part to be transformed. God, I have such a difficult time trusting you in this area. God, I need transformation. Go to the Lord. Repent. And let the Holy Spirit apprehend you. Let's pray for a little bit today. Let's go to our group prayer focus. Let's pray for your families. Let's pray for health, right, of your parents and your brothers and sisters, aunts, uncles. Let's pray that your family, there will be a love for God there. If your family is not saved, let's pray that the love of God would be poured over them and the word of salvation would go forth over their lives today. Let's pray for real closeness. You know, if there's any kind of issues going on in your family, any reconciliation that needs to take place, you know, pray the Spirit of Elijah come and turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers and break a curse that's off your family. Let's just lift up our moms and dads, aunts and uncles, cousins, you know, and let's just lift up our families to the Lord and ask for God's grace and protection and healing. Let's just pray for our families. For SP Focus, let's pray for our Uzbekistan team. Right now, they're on a retreat. Actually, they should be coming back now. Let's pray for the whole team. Pray for Mike as he leads the team. Pray for anointing, protection, unity. Pray for real significant ministry to flow through them. And I think they're doing revival services now at church, morning prayer and afternoon stuff all day, and then service at night. And so let's really pray that God really use them. I think Tim is doing the bulk of the speaking, and so let's ask God to really bless him and the team. And then they're coming back on Tuesday, and so for the next few days, let's really ask God to just pour himself out over this team. Well, let's pray for them.
our house church. Well, let's pray for McDonald Road House Church. Let's pray for Ken and Janie as leaders and Stan as a host. Let's pray for all the members of McDonald Road that they would just really continue to grow and just fall just deeper and deeper in love with God. Let's pray for real significant ministry to happen as they meet. Let's pray for a real tight community that God would just continue to add to their number and just bless this house church, right? I think they're moving to Wednesdays as well, so let's pray for their move as well. All right, let's just cover McDonald Road. Let's pray over a member prayer focus. Let's pray for our sister Jihei. Let's pray for her mom's health and especially to heal her from her constant health problems and bad blood circulation and discomfort in her legs. Just really ask God to really heal her in this. Pray for her salvation of her close friends, especially Sue. Pray for her that she'd have greater faith and obedience and a deeper, richer relationship with the Lord this year. Let's lift up Jihei. Let's pray for our sister Mary. Let's pray for salvation of her uncle's family and reconciliation between her uncle and her mother. I pray for God to be present in her quality time with her parents and sister so that their entire family puts the Lord first. Pray that the Lord will really open up her work schedule this year so that she can go back to Fujian at least a couple times this year, that God would really bless her in her work. Pray for more faith in God to answer her prayers. So let's just cover Mary. Let's pray for our sister Karen. Let's pray that she would walk in a greater intimacy with the Lord and persistence in pursuing Him. Let's pray that she would align her desires to God's desires for her life. Pray that she'd be able to walk in her calling and be faithful servant to Him at work and in the ministries which she's serving. And for God to continue to move in her family and the Holy Spirit to continue to minister to her dad and mom and for them to grow. And her brother and sister-in-law, for them to be saved. Now, let's just bless Karen. Lord, we just thank you, God, just for waking us up this morning, Lord, and just bringing us to this house of prayer. Father, I pray that, God, that you would just come and just continue to minister to us, God, as we minister to you throughout this day. Lord, I pray that you would really answer the prayers of our brothers and sisters, God, this morning as we offer them up to you, God, as we operate in your will. Lord, come and just be a big God, Lord, around us, Lord. Father, we ask that you just continue to watch over us this day. God, bind our will to your will, God. We thank you for a day of your strength, God. And Lord, we come to you in our weakness today as well. And we say that you would strengthen us, Lord. We thank you. Lord, help us to give glory to your Son today in some way. We bless you. In Jesus' name we pray.